There was a wrenching sound, and our car shook. Then the sound of tearing metal, and our car started shuddering. "He's uncoupled the cars!" I shouted. As I did, Nicodemus's car began drawing away from us as our own slowed down, the gap between them growing.
"Go!" Sonya shouted. "I'll be all right."
Michael stood and threw himself over the gap without hesitation. Marcone ditched the assault rifle and sprinted toward the gap. He threw himself over it, arms windmilling, and landed, barely, on the other car's roof. I got to the top of the car and did the same thing. I imagined missing the other car and landing on the tracks in front of the uncoupled end of the train. Even without an engine, pure momentum would be more than enough to kill me. I dropped Marcone's rifle and gathered my will and my staff. As I leapt, I thrust the staff back behind me and screamed,
"Forzare!"
The raw force I sent out behind me shoved me forward. Actually, it shoved me too far forward. I landed closer to Nicodemus than either Michael or Marcone, but at least I didn't wind up sprawled at his feet. Michael stepped up to stand beside me, and a second later Marcone did as well. He had an automatic pistol in either hand.
"The boy isn't very fast, is he, Michael?" said Nicodemus. "You're an adequate opponent, I suppose. Not as experienced as you could be, but it's hard to find someone with more than 30 or 40 years of practice, much less 20 centuries. Not as talented as the Japanese, but then not many are."
"Give up the shroud, Nicodemus," Michael shouted. "It is not yours to take."
"Oh, yes it is," Nicodemus answered. "You certainly will not be able to stop me, and when I've finished you and the wizard, I'll go back for the boy. 3 nights in a day, as it were."
"He can't make bad puns," I muttered. "That's my shtick."
"At least he didn't overlook you entirely," Marcone answered. "I feel somewhat insulted."
"Hey," I shouted. "Old Nick, can I ask you a question?"
"Please do, wizard. Once we get to the fighting, there really isn't going to be much opportunity for it."
"Why?" I said.
"Beg pardon?"
"Why?"
I asked again.
"Why the hell are you doing this? I mean, I get why you stole the shroud. You needed a big battery. But why a plague?"
"Have you read Revelations?"
"Not in a while," I admitted. "But I just can't buy that you really think you're touching off the apocalypse."
Nicodemus shook his head.
"Dresden, Dresden. The apocalypse, as you refer to it, isn't an event. At least, it isn't any specific event. One day, I'm sure, there will be an apocalypse that really does bring on the end, but I doubt it will be this event that begins it."
"Then why do this?"
Nicodemus studied me for a moment before smiling.
"Apocalypse is a frame of mind," he said then. "A belief, a surrender to inevitability. It is despair for the future. It is the death of hope."
Michael said quietly, "And in that kind of environment there is more suffering, more pain, more desperation, more power to the underworld and their servants."
"Exactly," Nicodemus said. "We have a terrorist group prepared to take credit for this plague. It will likely stir up reprisals, protests, hostilities, all sorts of things."
"One step closer," said Michael. "That's how he sees it. Progress."
"I like to think of it as simple entropy," Nicodemus said. "The real question, to my mind, is why do you stand against me? It is the way of the universe, Knight. Things fall apart. Your resistance to it is pointless."
In answer, Michael drew his sword.
"Ah," said Nicodemus, "eloquence."
"Stay back," Michael said to me. "Don't distract me."
"Michael, I mean it."
He stepped forward to meet Nicodemus.
Nicodemus took his time, sauntering up to meet Michael. He crossed swords with him lightly, then lifted his blade in a salute. Michael did the same.
Nicodemus attacked, and Amorakius flared into brilliant light. The two men met each other and traded a quick exchange of cuts and thrusts. They parted and then clashed together again, steps carrying each past the other. Both of them emerged from it unscathed.
"Shooting him hardly seems to inconvenience him," Marcone said quietly to me. "I take it that the knight's sword can harm him?"
"Michael doesn't think so," I said.
Marcone blinked and looked at me. Then why is he fighting him?
Because it needs to be done, I said.
Do you know what I think? Marcone said.
You think we should shoot Nicodemus in the back at the first opportunity and let Michael dismember him?
Yes, I drew my gun. Okay,